The time has come. The NFL draft is approximately 24 hours away, 25 if you count when we're recording this. You are listening to the Fumble Rooski podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns. Someone's got to get that 6th or 7th spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
This is the Fumble Rooski podcast, sponsored by Power 88 Dean Radio and Secret Weapon Consulting. Chris Kostich, Adam Wright, Justin Tucker, and the draft guy, CJ Medeiros. As the time has come, the NFL draft is finally right around the corner. At this time, 6:23 p.m., we will be going through our NFL mock draft of the 2024 NFL draft. As this kind of took a while for us. We had a lot of disagreements of who we wanted for this, but here we are. 2024 Fumble Rooski NFL mock draft. So we'll start it out. I'll start with the first overall pick, the no-brainer, quarterback from USC, Caleb Williams, hailed as the next Patrick Mahomes, probably the first overall pick, or the consensus first overall pick for the last 2 years now. Obviously just a no-brainer in that sense. And next, at the 2 spot, the Commanders, they're going to go with quarterback Jaden Daniels from LSU. This one was kind of a toss-up because it was really, everyone knew that Caleb Williams was going to be number one. Number two really was going to come down to Drake May, Jaden Daniels, and Marvin Harrison Jr. But with the Commanders, you know that they're looking for quarterback help. Sam Howell obviously isn't going to be the one to get it done. Jaden Daniels is going to be the guy. And that kind of seems to be the consensus for a lot of NFL scouts as well. They're saying that Jaden Daniels is more NFL ready per se than Drake May is. Hey, I'm not the one saying it, CJ. I'm just saying what other NFL scouts are saying. All right. With that being said, at the 3 spot, the Patriots, they're going to take Drake May at the 3 spot. And hopefully from what we see from what I said about Jaden Daniels and Drake May, one being more NFL ready than the other, Drake May is going to have a pretty solid veteran quarterback in Jacoby Brissett as a good veteran mentor for him for his rookie season. Doesn't matter if he's going to be starting or if he just rides the pine for his first year. In my humble opinion, I think Drake May or whoever the Patriots end up getting as their at the 3 spot, if it is a quarterback, he should ride the pine for a year. Mm-hmm. That's, we've said it many times, it just works out better in the long run. So then we move on to the 4 spot, the Cardinals. Wide receiver Marvin Harrison Jr. from Ohio State. The consensus best wide receiver in the draft and one of the best wide receiver prospects that we've seen in the last few years, obviously with Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson. So that's just going to be a no-brainer consensus for the Cardinals. They have to take Marvin Harrison Jr. at that spot, and that's going to be a great weapon for Kyler Murray to throw to at that point. And this is where things get wild. The Chargers trade their number five pick to the Vikings. So the Vikings will pick up the 5th pick and they'll trade away the 23rd pick and the 11th pick in the first round. So you'll see that later on. The Chargers will now have 3 first round picks and with or 2 first round picks, excuse me. So the Vikings with their number 5 pick will pick up J.J. McCarthy, the quarterback from Michigan, national champion quarterback from Michigan. We've said that there's a lot of problems with J.J. McCarthy. One of them being that, well, yeah, he has a strong arm, which not saying that that's a huge problem or anything like that. But you also want a guy that's going to have a lot of touch. So if J.J. McCarthy can develop that, he's just going to be a fine quarterback. Then our second receiver off the board will be Malik Nabers going in the 6th spot to the Giants, the wide receiver from LSU. And this one was also a toss-up. This one was really going to come down to Malik Nabers and Rome Odunze. And for the Giants, this is going to be a great pickup because they need skill. Much like the Patriots and a lot of other teams, they have yet to have a real good wide receiver one, and especially with them not having Saquon Barkley coming back to the team for next year and losing him to the Eagles, they need weapons. And in the seventh spot, offensive tackle, Joe Alt from Notre Dame. Another consensus, best offensive lineman in this draft class. And for the Titans, sneakily loading up over the offseason, L'Jarius Sneed being one of the guys that they picked up over the offseason, Calvin Ridley, another one. And at this point, you know, if you're the Titans, you think you have your guy at Will Levis. Now you try to protect him. And that's where you're getting with the best lineman in this draft, Joe Alt. And the number eight pick, this will be my last pick to announce. The Atlanta Falcons will go defensive end Dallas Turner from Alabama, the Crimson Tide. And for the Falcons, you know, they had a solid defense. It was all right here and there. But the big thing that they lacked was a pass rush. They're all set on the offensive side of the football, but now this really completes the puzzle in helping them become a potential contender down the road. So now I'll pass it off to Tucker.
Justin, we're going to head into our next segment before we go on to our picks 9 through 16. And then it's going to be Tuck who takes the baton and announces our picks for our third annual mock draft. That's next. This is the Fumble Rooski podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns. Someone's got to get that 6th or 7th spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
This is the Fumble Rooski podcast, sponsored by Power 18 Radio and Secret Weapon Consulting. Chris Kostich, Justin Tucker, CJ Medeiros, and Adam Wright. Tucker, take us away.
Sorry about that. I had my mic muted. I didn't want to interrupt anybody. All right. Anyway, we're back with the Bears at the 9th overall pick, and we have given them Jarrett Verse, defensive end out of Florida State. Quite frankly, that defense needs a little bit of help at edge. We decided to help him there, and Jarrett Verse is a very talented edge rusher coming out this year. And I figured they helped out on the offensive end, getting Caleb Williams. They surrounded him with weapons. Why not help out the defense with this pick on this time? Coming on up, we have the 10th pick, and the Jets are going to Jets. They've chosen the tight end, Brock Bowers, from the University of Georgia. Go Dogs, go. I believe he's one of the best tight end prospects over the last 5 years, even though I still think Kyle Pitts may be a little bit better as a pass catcher. Brock Bowers is no means a slouch in that department either. I think the Jets need more weapons surrounding Aaron Rodgers, who's up there in age. Personally, I wish there was a quarterback available for the Jets, but since he's not available, we might as well give him a weapon to survive this season. They have a stellar defense. If the defense can stay off the field with more weapons they have, the Jets may be a threat. Coming up with the number 11 overall pick, we had the Vikings in a trade with the Chargers, and they have selected wide receiver Rome Odunze out of Washington. At first, he started off as the second round pick, but as the draft coverage kept going and the combine came around and his pro day came, he started moving up and up the boards. Oh no, I thought Rome Odunze had a phenomenal year with Washington. Played in the national championship game, but fell short to the Michigan Wolverines, but overall had a very phenomenal season, and he can hopefully carry on that production to the NFL. With the number 12 pick, we have the Broncos, and they've selected, I can't say his name, Latu from UCLA. The Broncos need help everywhere. I don't even know where to begin. They've lost their quarterback, they're losing pieces, but they're gaining pieces, and I believe that defense is the best thing they can go right here, and I believe he's the best player for them to pick. I wish Verse was here, but he's not here. He's gone. With the number 13 overall pick, we got the Raiders. And they go for Shanu from Penn State. I thought he was going to come out last year. He stayed another year. He's coming out this year. He is without a doubt the second best tackle prospect coming out this year. I believe he will help buffer that Raiders O-line and give them some more pass protection, which they severely need. And hopefully they can give their quarterback enough time, whoever it may be, to throw the ball to Davante Adams, to Hunter Renfro, and the cast surrounding them. With the 14th overall pick, we got the Saints, I'm sorry. sorry, they just didn't play good this year. But hopefully we can help them out with some O-line help with Talisi Fuagua from Oregon State. The Saints need severe help on the O-line this year, and whether it's Jameis Winston or Derek Carr under center, hopefully they can have more time to throw the ball to all the wide receivers that they have. Because I'm not going to lie, they got some talent over there. And if they can get more time, I believe that they can be successful, especially in the NFC South. With the 15th overall pick, the Colts select cornerback Teron Arnold from Bama. Long, lanky guy. He is a boundary corner, which they severely need. Their best corner right now is Kenny Moore, who's a slot guy. Not really the best position for them right now. If he's going to stay in the slot, they need an outside guy to challenge the bigger wide receivers that they'll have to go up against. I believe Teron Arnold can do that and do that just fine for what they're going to ask of him. And with the 16th overall pick, the Seahawks select Troy Fanonu from Washington. Hometown guy, not going too far, staying in the Washington area. Seattle needs O-line help, even though I still have faith in the people they have. Adding another tackle guy and asking one of them to bump down to guard wouldn't be too much to ask for. And I believe that they can do it and give Geno Smith enough time to throw to the weapons that he has at his disposal. That's all I got.
Solid.
I try my best.
All right. Adam, you want to take it away?
Absolutely. When we come back, we are going to take on pick 17 through 24. That's next. You're listening to the Fumbleroski podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has three touchdowns. Someone's got to get that six or seven spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back to the Fumbleroski podcast by Power 88 and Secret Weapon Consulting. In our third annual mock draft, heading into tomorrow's 2024 NFL draft. Exciting stuff. But without further ado, we have the 17 through 24 picks, starting with the Jacksonville Jaguars, who will be selecting cornerback Quinyon Mitchell out of Toledo. The Jaguars secondary was a massive letdown this past season. So it would make sense that they would go out and get themselves a corner. Terrion Arnold is already gone off the board, so it makes sense that Quinyon Mitchell would be the next guy up. At number 18, the Cincinnati Bengals. We had a couple of different ways we could go here. They could have also gone offense with wide receiver. They could have also gone defensive tackle. We elected to go cornerback, which will be Nate Wiggins out of Clemson. They just lost Chidobe Awuzie. They still have Cam Taylor-Britt, and they still have Mike Hilton. I firmly believe that with the offensive side of the ball losing a little bit of firepower this past offseason, it's important for them to get a little more balance this offseason, shore up that offense, that defense. That's the way to go here. At number 19, we have the Rams, who are taking offensive tackle J.C. Latham out of Bama. The issue with the Rams, so they throw away 2022. That was, I don't know what that was. They faced a lot of injuries. Their offensive line was a mess. Things leveled out a little bit, but not quite enough. And they really haven't found a replacement left tackle since Andrew Whitworth left in 2021. So it would make sense that they found their replacement in J.C. Latham. All right, going to the Steelers at number 20, wide receiver Brian Thomas Jr. out of LSU. So they did just trade Deontay Johnson. Chase Claypool has been out for a long time, and he didn't work out when he was here. They have George Pickens, but first of all, a couple things there. First of all, how good is he going to be? That's a question. And second of all, when he is, if he is that wide receiver one, who do you have outside of him? You don't really have much anymore with Deontay Johnson gone. So it makes sense that Brian Thomas Jr., he's the best wide receiver left on the board here. And it's really not that close. Going to the Dolphins, defensive tackle Jerzon Newton out of Illinois. This guy is important for the Dolphins because they are really hurting in that front seven. So, as we have talked about on this show about defensive tackles nowadays, their value is going through the roof with Aaron Donald and Chris Jones constantly, Justin Matabike, lots of good defensive tackles who are able to make it into the backfield. They have a lower floor, but a high ceiling as well. I think the Dolphins make a good pick here. They really need help on that front seven. Going to the Eagles at number 22, they go cornerback Cooper DeJean out of Iowa. Looking at the state of the cornerback position for the Eagles, they do still have Darius Slay, who can still play at a reasonably well level. But let's talk about the other guy, James Bradbury. That guy was actually really good when he first got here, when he first got to Philly. Now, even Philly fans want him out of town. So for them to go and get another corner to pair up with Darius Slay, get younger at the position, that defense needs help, especially in the secondary. And this is definitely the way to go here. At number 23, the Vikings again. So they traded their pick to the Chargers, and they take offensive tackle Amarius Mims. It makes sense that they're taking a tackle because their offensive line right now, they have one elite offensive lineman. Their left tackle is a stud. Then they have four pieces of crap. So for them to go out and get an offensive tackle, they need a bookend. And again, this mock draft is about what we believe will happen, but still, I don't think that they should address the interior offensive line on day one of the draft. It's a big mistake. You can find good players on day two, three. It's easy to find interior offensive linemen. Tackles, though, those don't grow on trees. So if you are the Chargers, you're addressing that need on one of the two picks that you got out of the Vikings on day one. Here's my last pick here before I hand the baton off to CJ for our final segment. Number 24, it's the Dallas Cowboys who are going to go with offensive linemen. I say linemen because, as I said in the last pick, you don't address interior offensive line on day one. But this guy can play quite literally anywhere that you need him to play, which is important because they have a lot of needs on that offensive line. If they need him to play left tackle, which is a need, they can go there. If they need a center, he can play there. So, yes, I would like for him to play tackle in the long run, but if they need a short-term need somewhere, if they have a short-term need somewhere else, then Graham Barton out of Duke, he is going to be able to fill in that need. So that concludes all of my picks, and we are going to go into a break. When we come back, we're going to move on to the last 8 picks, 25 through 32. CJ Medeiros, our draft guy, is going to go over all of the picks that are remaining on day one. First round's on us, boys. Final segment.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6 or 7 spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
You're listening to the Fumble Risky Podcast, Power 88 Dean Radio, Secret Weapon Consulting, Chris Kostich, Adam Wright, Justin Tucker, CJ Medeiros. Last but not least, the home stretch, 25 through 32. Our draft guy, take it away.
Thanks, Chris. So, first pick of my segment will be the Green Bay Packers, who will be taking offensive tackle from Oklahoma, Tyler Guyton. So the thing with Guyton, the Packers, is that you need a left tackle. I mean, for the past 2 years, we were playing a big game of, oh, when will David Bakhtiari come back? Well, he's not coming back. It's over. It's literally over. And you could say, oh, but, you know, we play without him. We played pretty well without him for a bit. That's fine. No. It turns out you actually have your golden goose in Jordan Love. Don't kill him. Be smart. Draft a tackle. I could also see them maybe addressing the defensive backfield here. But offensive linemen have the potential to get snapped up at the end of the first round here. So it's better to just take one right now. And that's probably the same train of thought that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are about to have, because at 26 we have the taking offensive lineman from Oregon, Jackson Powers Johnson. Now, you already know how a lot of us on the podcast feel about taking, you know, interior linemen in the first round. But Jackson Powers Johnson, who can play center or guard, isn't any interior offensive lineman. Usually you tend to make an exception for those that are gifted and have potential to be the best at their position. And he does that because the Bucs, you know, they have some holes at guard and they just lost their center, Ryan Jensen. So why not take one of the best offensive linemen in this class just as a whole? And Jackson Powers Johnson is going to do wonders up front for Baker Mayfield. So moving on down the line is the 27th overall pick, where the Arizona Cardinals are picking for the second time in this draft, first time around, if you may recall back in Chris's segment, we had him taking Marvin Harrison Jr. But here we have defensive tackle out of the University of Texas, Byron Murphy Jr. So I know a few people who say, oh, maybe they address the O-line, maybe they double dip on offense. I can't see it. You have to address the defensive side of the ball because your defensive backfield is very hit or miss. But frankly, Arizona has no pass rush to really speak of. And getting a just big disruptor in the middle and Murphy the second, that will help you immensely. He's the type of guy that can get drafted and just be an impact guy from the word go. Now moving on to pick 28, the Buffalo Bills. Well, actually, we're staying at the University of Texas as they take their wide receiver, Adonai, or some people call him A.D. Mitchell. Now, Buffalo, over the past two offseasons, lost Stephon Diggs, Gabe Davis, and Isaiah McKenzie. McKenzie happened last season. He was their wide receiver three. And now you've lost your wide receiver one and two in both offseasons. And I don't care what Bills Mafia will try to feed me about Khalil Shakir. He is not a wide receiver one, which is why you grab Mitchell from Texas. Because without Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis, I just don't see them, I don't see them competing all that well. And we all know, because we spoke about it ad nauseum this offseason, how this Bills roster was completely gutted and stripped of talent, and then probably woke up in an ice bath missing a kidney to boot. So I would definitely say don't overthink it. Take a wide receiver because you still need weapons, because Allen isn't quite on that Mahomes tier where he can win with next to nothing. So 29th overall pick, the Detroit Lions select corner from Alabama, Kool-Aid McKinstry. Now, Detroit needs some help in the defensive backfield because some of the splashes they made this offseason didn't really quite get the job done. C.J. Gardner-Johnson, I believe, is back in Philly, and Cameron Sutton's been arrested. So they should be thanking their lucky stars that at least in our scenario, Kool-Aid McKinstry has fallen to them. And McKinstry is a very fluid guy, very explosive. He can play press. He can play off. He's mostly a man guy, can do a little zone, and he's a ball hawk. And that's what you're going to need when you are lining up alongside the, you know, in your division, the Justin Jeffersons, DJ Moores, and Christian Watsons of the world. Now we got pick 30. That's Justin Tucker's team, the Ravens, where we have them taking edge rusher for Penn State, the big man himself, Chop Robinson. So prospect-wise, I would say that Chop Robinson reminds me a lot of Trayvon Walker on the edge, in the sense that he's a big guy, all the physical tools are there, but he is raw. And I definitely think that the Ravens can develop him, because, you know, he has to like work on his arsenal, because right now he's strictly a bull rush kind of guy. But I definitely think if you fine tune him, he's going to be a nightmare for those AFC North quarterbacks. All right, pick 31. The runners up in the Super Bowl, the San Francisco 49ers, will strike gold here when they take offensive tackle Kingsley Suamataia out of BYU. So we all know that they have a very great future Hall of Famer left tackle in Trent Williams. Well, last offseason on the right side, they lost Mike McGlinchey and they did not replace him. In fact, the offensive line isn't really that great. And so if you want a bookend outside of Williams, Suamataia, that absolute mountain of a human being, would do wonders for Brock Purdy. And now we have pick 32. The reigning Super Bowl champ and newly minted dynasty Kansas City Chiefs are adding to that offense as they take the University of Texas's very own speedster, Xavier Worthy. Now, Worthy was always like a fringe day one, mostly day two guy. But this man then decided to mess around and break the 40-yard dash combine record. And that boosted his stock a bit, as it did with John Ross back in the day. But Worthy is going to be deadly with Mahomes, because he already had Kelsey. You know, he's pretty good. You know, not like he's a top five tight end all time or anything. And you have Hollywood Brown, speedster. You had Rashee Rice, but he does his racing off the field instead of on it. So if you want a little more speed just to make that offense a little more deadly, you're going to go Xavier Worthy. To be fair, I could see them going corner or perhaps O-lineman, but they are going to want to give Mahomes some weapons.
Well, all right. That is our 2024 annual mock draft, the third annual Fumbleruski mock draft. Hope you guys enjoyed. And before we end the show, I want to address this interior O-line argument that you guys keep bringing up, because oddly enough, Adam Schefter tweeted out this morning, ESPN content producer Paul Hembo calculated the percentage of first round picks that hit or miss based upon whether that player signed a second contract with the team that drafted them. This data encompasses the 20 drafts spanning from 2000 to 2019. Guess who the highest overall hit was? Centers at 92%. Granted, there were only 12 drafted in the first round in that 20-year span, but 11 hits to one miss. I'm not trying to argue centers on day one, but if you were to look at the averages compared to the – if you were to even look at the guards is a 50% hit rate at 14 out of 28. So you average that out, that's 62.5%. Oddly enough, that's a higher hit percentage than wide receivers, which is 21 out of 77, 27%. I'm not saying that.
I think the problem is you have to look at the success rate of the position outside of day one as well, because tackles, again, whether you find good centers and guards in the first round or not, tackles do not grow on trees. Guards and centers kind of do.
Oh yeah.
So no, that's the issue there.
The tackles were the offensive tackle was the second among the hit percentage rate.
And it just underscores how tough it is to find an elite tackle. And you'll be more likely to find one on day one than day two. Whereas on day two of the draft for centers and guards, you'll have a higher success rate there because it's easier to find a good guard or center.
I mean,
also
I don't
CJ's know trying to talk and he's muted.
Yep, I understand. So, what do they qualify as a hit exactly?
They're considering a hit based upon whether the player signed a second contract with the team that drafted with them, which means that he was good enough to even be signed back on for another for another 3 years potentially. Averaged out three. I'm just saying, throwing that number out because that's usually what you see out of many players that re-sign 3 to 4 years.
I mean, it's not like that the margin of error is bigger, but, you know, I mean, there's like a few things I could probably poke at there, but I don't have the energy.
Yeah, and I mean, and this is the other thing, too. I'm not trying to say that you guys are blatantly wrong on it and whatnot, because if we were to look at, because the total number of centers and guards, interior O-linemen that were drafted is definitely a lot less than most of these other positions that were drafted in general. Like the total number in that 20-year span was only 40. And I threw out the wide receiver number. The total number of wide receivers drafted in the first round during that 20-year span was 77. Now you can also say that skilled players also get drafted or more likely to get drafted in the first round, this and that. But
it depends on the skill position. I feel like quarterback and wide receiver, that's appropriate to draft on the on day one, and tight ends as well, because those are generally hard to find. Running backs, I don't know if you should even address those day one.
Running back is
not in this day and age, no.
Running back is a 38% hit percentage.
Right. So it doesn't even work that well either.
Yeah.
So like some skill positions, sure. Others, there's some positions that you can address in later rounds, right? Like not all positions are created equal. To look at extreme cases, I mean, every single special teams position.
Yeah. All right, real quick, before we end the show.
Yeah.
I want you guys to guess what the highest number of position players were drafted in this 20-year span.
Huh?
Like, what position was drafted the highest in the first round from 2019 to 2000?
Oh, that's a good one.
I'm going to go defensive end. I feel like this is a trick question, and you're trying to bait us into picking quarterback, but defensive end is...
I'm not trying to bait you.
I won't be quarterback. Too few picks.
So Adam's got the edge rusher, defensive end.
That was going to be my pick too, but I can change it.
I mean, you can go defensive end, edge rusher if you want. There's no.
It's not that.
Offensive tackle could be another one too.
I don't know why, but maybe DB.
That's what I was thinking. And if you're going that way, I'm going wide receiver.
All right. Then
Left tackle.
You mean left tackle. The tackles are combined. But
okay,
I'll use your – do you still want to lock in tackle, Tuck?
Yeah, I'm locking in tackle.
So Adam would be correct. The highest number of players
– Never correct.
Line or anything, but okay.
The edge rusher, 104 first-round picks from 2019 to 2000. And, Tuck, you weren't far off with tackles. Tackles were fourth in that number. And then CJ, you said corners.
Yeah.
They were third at 71. Mm-hmm. Tackles were 64.
It's the home wreckers, man. I'm telling you. Those are the guys who are going to – they ruin games.
Second was wide receivers. And then fifth was cornerbacks at 71. Cornerbacks were actually third. Sorry for my dog if you guys can hear her. But offensive tackle, I said this earlier, 59% hit rate if drafted in the first round. Edge rusher, 44% hit rate when drafted in the first round. Cornerback is 38%. Wide receiver, I said this earlier, 27%. So just a fun little guessing game to end the show. Do you guys have anything else you want to add before we sign off?
Yeah, just a quick announcement. So for tomorrow's draft, we do plan on live streaming the top five picks. So be sure to tune in for that. We will give our reactions to all five of the top picks. Expected to, strong possibility that there is going to be a trade that happens with the Vikings or one team that trades into the top five. And Patriots, a lot of Patriots fans that we have over here. I mean, number one is a slam dunk, the Bears. They're going for Caleb Williams, but we'll just discuss what the Bears will be like with Caleb Williams, because that is very debatable on how Caleb Williams does on the big league level. Washington and New England, those are going to be some interesting picks, because some say Jaden Daniels goes two and then May at three, or JJ McCarthy. A lot of things that could happen in the top five. So we will give our reactions live on our very first live stream coming out of the sports bar we're going to be covering it from.
And that's if the Patriots even stay at three. There's a lot of reports that they're open to trading out of that third spot, and other reports that say that they haven't even gotten a serious offer. I just saw one that the Colts are potentially looking at the three spot to go get Marvin Harrison Jr. So there's a lot going on here. And also just a fair warning as well. Probably could have said this earlier on. This is just what we believe is going to happen, but we have no idea what these 32 teams are actually going to do at this point, right? So, or what these teams are going to be doing with these first 32 picks. Everything's up in the air. Like you said, Adam, a trade could happen, especially with the Bengals news that just came out with Trey Hendrickson and T. Higgins requesting a trade earlier today. Anything could happen. Hell, the Bengals could make a trade with somebody tomorrow, for all we know.
Absolutely. But
that'll do it for us tonight. Thank you for listening to us. We have new episodes out on Tuesdays, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard, and Fridays at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard, as long as we don't delay, as we have been these last few weeks. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. We also have all our episodes available on Spotify, Spreaker, Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, Google Podcast, and so much more. Also, be sure to follow our Instagram, FumbleRooski_podcast, and our TikTok, FumbleRooskiPod, to keep up with our podcast and the latest coverage of the NFL. And we thank you all again for 10,000. Worked very hard for it. At least these three guys worked very hard for it. I just joined in last September, and I'm glad to have been a part of the ride thus far. But for that, we say so long. We'll see you Friday. Over and out.